Previously on Barefoot Boys, we left you with the story of 9-year-old Nagendra Prasad Chorbadikari, who, legend has it, was the first Indian to kick a football at the Kolkata Maidan.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
There are considerable debates about this particular account of a boy, a Bengali boy named Nagendra Prasad Chorbadikari, who probably for the first time touched a football with his feet in 1877. He was around 9 years old at that point of time.
This is sports historian Kaushik Bondhopadhyay.
But whatever be justification of such a story, it is definitely important to remember that in Bengali tradition, in most of the accounts of Indian football, particularly in the vernacular literature in Bengal, Nagendra Prasad went down as the father of Indian football. And that was something which definitely had a major role to play to make Calcutta the Mecca of Indian football.
Nagendra Prasad's family, the Chorbadikaris, were no strangers to fame or good fortune. Their run had begun as early as the 14th century under the Tughlaq dynasty. More recently, the British, in recognition of faithful service to the empire, gave Nagendra Prasad's father, Dr. Surya Kumar Chorbadikari, the title of Rai Bahadur. According to one obituary, Surya Kumar may have even served on the British side during the revolt of 1857. So Nagendra Prasad was a classic child of the British encounter in Bengal. Born into a wealthy, illustrious household with a family talent of staying in the good graces of the powers that be, studied at Hare School and then Presidency College, two of the finest institutions available to Indians at the time, and he was a hustler. He set his sights on a goal, pun absolutely intended, and he wouldn't stop till he got there. Clearly, young Nagendra Prasad had it all, and he made full use of it. From Luminary, this is Barefoot Boys, a podcast about an Indian football team that went toe-to-toe with the British and against all odds emerged as a national symbol. A symbol that told a country fighting for independence, we can win. I'm Konkona Sen Sharma. The day after he kicked the ball in that field for the first time, young Nagendra Prasad went to school and told his classmates all about it. He was so fascinated by that moment that he even got all of them to pool in some money and purchase a ball from Messrs. Manton & Co., a famous sports shop in the Bow Bazaar area of Calcutta. Armed with their new purchase, they ran back to Hare School to kick it around on the school field. There was a professor, a Mr. G. A. Stack, who was watching them from the balcony of the neighbouring Presidency College. He walked up to them and asked them what they were playing, or trying to play.
What are you playing? Paul.
Well, boys, I'm sorry to break it to you, but that's not a football.
Stack sat them down and explained that they were playing the game correctly, but they had the wrong ball. This ball was not round, but oval in shape. The poor boys had been sold a rugby ball. It's easy for us to laugh about it today, but the boys could hardly be blamed for this. The two sports were connected. In fact, they were, for all practical purposes, the same sport. It was only around 1863, less than 15 years before young Nagendra Prasad got his first kick, that football and rugby had split into two different sports. I'll explain. Yes, the game was played on a field between two teams like it is today. There were two goalposts and you scored a point when you managed to send the ball through the opponent's goal. But everything else depended on where in England you were playing the game. In places like Sheffield and Rugby, a player could use their hands and catch the ball. That's why the name Rugby, by the way, after that little town called Rugby in Warwickshire. So football was a kicking game in some British public schools and a handling game in others. Apart from this, there was simply no one single way to play the game.
Games were very much violent at the time and different types of physical tussles were there.
This is Debashish Mazumdar, a historian of Kolkata football.
Those who were very much loved to do physical exercises or those who used to like to play physical style of game, they moved to rugby. And those who were moderates in the procession of the game, they remained in the football section.
Sometime in the mid-1870s, it was decided that it was time to standardize the game. But when the players sat down to do this, they realized that maybe there was scope to create two different kinds of games altogether, each with its own set of rules. Football, a kicking game, and rugby, a handling game. Back to our story. The boys, of course, were bitterly disappointed when Stack explained they were playing the kicking game, but with the handling ball. Perhaps as a way of making them feel better, Stack and a colleague of his decided to train the boys in the game they were attempting, football. They taught them the rules and became their coaches. And it didn't take very long before Stack realized that Nagendra Prasad was special. The boy was not just a talented football player, but...
Nagendra Prasad was probably born as a leader. And when he stepped into the presidency college, he actively participated in organizing not only football, but also other Western sports, including cricket and rugby. And he was the first Bengali, probably Indian, to initiate club culture in Calcutta.
This is historian Kaushik Bondhapathai. Soon, thanks to the professors and Nagendra Prasad, students of Presidency College started playing football with students from Hare School. And two football clubs sprang into existence. Despite Nagendra Prasad's obvious tenacity and staggering sense of enterprise at such a young age, the fact that he had founded these clubs as a schoolboy was apparent in the names they held. Boys Club and Friends Club. Simple names from a simpler time. These little clubs then started to become quite popular in the area around Hare School. I suppose watching the boys in their daily practice sessions made people curious. But for the boys, football was an obsession. I wonder why. What was it that attracted all these young men to football? Why not cricket instead, which was introduced to India almost 100 years earlier? Here is Debashish Mojumdar, the author of the book, The History of the Football Clubs in Calcutta.
Now, football used to be a very simple game. And as we all know that the native people, they can also play it by barefoot.
This was the beginning of the tradition that eventually birthed the Barefoot Boys and made news not just in India, but in England and later at the Olympics. But back to Mr. Mojumdar.
They had created their own terms in the game of football. Whereas the other colonial sports like cricket and hockey, they had certain instruments which were necessary for to play those games like pads, gloves, hockey sticks. And on certain occasions, they are quite costly. And there was a debate among the natives and the Europeans that which used to be the actual costume to play cricket. The natives, they used to love to play cricket with dhoti, but the Europeans were reluctant to play with them as they were wearing dhoti.
So that was it. football was far more accessible. In fact, so much so that between 1887 and 1890, Calcutta witnessed the birth of several football clubs. Shobha Bajar Club, National Association, Aryans, Howrah Sporting, Chinsura Sporting, the list goes on. And you know, when I read these names, I can't help thinking about the fact that this thriving football club culture in Calcutta began with a 10-year-old boy's fascination with the sport. And Nagendra Prasad Sharvadhikari, the father of Indian football, was quite a fascinating character himself. A complex hero. Let me tell you why. As an adult, Nagendra Prasad was quite muscular and well-built. He had a striking physique. Once, a young family member of his made a comment that a man only needs to be strong enough to drink a glass of water by himself. Now, I don't know what his reasoning was, but the young man was apparently suggesting that a big, strong physique was unnecessary. Now, Nagendra Prasad's physique was a point of pride, and what probably made it worse was that the comment was made at a gathering full of Calcutta babus, and they all laughed. Predictably, Nagendra Prasad lost his temper. He lifted the young man by his collar and thundered, "Now that I'm going to fling you down, what do you imagine you will require to escape that fate?" The young man quickly apologized and saved himself from injury, but Nagendra Prasad was still seething with anger. He actually said something that I personally find very offensive, but, you know, it's quoted in his biography written by P.L. Dutt in 1946.
"Those who speak like this, they are the ones who are afraid to step out on the streets with their wives and daughters. And when they do, they are unable to safeguard their honor. Muslim drivers intimidate them before their wife and daughter, extract double the money due to them, and walk away with a swagger while the Babu humors himself saying, 'I can't stoop to being a chotlok with the chotloks.' Such behavior, however, is not becoming of a bhadralok, but of a eunuch. The rate of female abductions from the homes of Bengali Hindus is unparalleled in any other community. Bengalis are effete. Let them gain in physical strength. With the return of masculine splendor will come respect from others."
But then, luckily, there are other stories about the same Nagendra Prasad, who is egalitarian and progressive and a true leader and visionary. Here's one. When Nagendra Prasad joined Presidency College, he formed a club called the Wellington Club. But within a year, he disbanded it. Because some of the richer members, Nagendra Prasad's friends, felt that it would compromise the character of the club to include Moni Das, a confectioner's son. Now, Nagendra Prasad was having none of it. Before the matter of Moni's membership could even be put to vote, he dissolved the Wellington Club outright. Here's the P.L. Dutt biography again.
"The very idea of the movers was nauseating to Nagendra Prasad."
Movers here refers to the people who wanted to exclude Moni Das.
"He could not reconcile himself to belong to a circle, the minutest part of which is putrid. Being a stern constitutionalist, he was bound to bring the matter up to vote. He knew the results of the voting will be disastrous to the movers. All the same, an out-and-out sportsman as he considered it ignoble to be a party to it. So Nagendra Prasad left the club of his own creation. This was followed by the resignation of no less than 450 of its members. Thus, Wellington met with its tragic end."
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Complex hero indeed. And the India he was growing up in was no less complex. This was the late 1880s, just 3 decades after the revolt of 1857. And you may remember from your history books that the British used this revolt as the excuse to transfer power from the East India Company to the British Crown, making India part of the British Empire. The Queen's proclamation was read out amidst much fanfare in Allahabad in 1858. And while this proclamation was meant to be an olive branch, it was all, well, fluff. Promises of equal opportunity in public service and no interference in religious and cultural customs were proved hollow by the passing of law after law that were racist and anti-Indian. And the British were confident in their ability to pass these laws, to continue to suppress Indian advancement and nip any dissent in the bud, because they believed that Indians, thanks to our diverse classes, castes, religions and interests, would not be able to come together on a single platform. They banked on our disunity to maintain their power. So Indian leaders knew that if India were to make a case for its independence, then Indians, all Indians, would have to get on board to break this stranglehold. Leading the charge was a crop of younger, more radical nationalists springing up across the country and particularly in Bengal. Among them were Surendranath Banerjee and Anand Mohan Bose, who formed the Indian National Association in Calcutta in 1876. The association wanted to promote Hindu-Muslim unity. Campaigns were organized asking for the right of Indians to bear arms, which the British wanted to restrict with the Arms Act. There was also the sustained agitation against the Vernacular Press Act of 1878, which imposed censorship on newspapers in local languages. Then there were the local campaigns in favor of the Ilbert Bill of 1883. The bill gave Indian judges the right to try European subjects for a category of crimes committed in rural areas. The British were furious with the bill. How could Indians be allowed to pass judgments on Europeans? Historian Mrinalini Sinha has written extensively about the politics in Bengal in that period. This is what she said about the Ilbert Bill.
The British protest against that was that, you know, you couldn't trust Indians to be trying, you know, European British subjects. They particularly used the fear of women, that, you know, that these people would be had very bad ideas, very backward ideas about gender relations, and so women would be in danger. And it really kind of created this idea of the effeminate Bengali, who's effeminate because he's not just physical in the physical sense, but also in his morals and attitudes. They are not brave. They're not straightforward. They'd be sly. They would do things that would harm Europeans as a result of this. And of course, the bill had to be, you know, there was a huge backlash and the bill had to be withdrawn. And it really does become an important moment in Indians then beginning to question the Queen's proclamation of providing racial equality.
So the point I'm trying to make is that there was this larger political awakening taking place just as football fever was spreading across middle-class Calcutta, thanks to Nagendra Prasad's efforts. Nagendra Prasad could not have been untouched by that growing nationalist movement. And indeed, P.L. Dutt's biography suggests that
in his youth, he was acquainted with Surendranath Banerjee, Shelley Bonnerjee, etc.
But
he never paid heed to politics. His conviction was that politics will bring disunity more than unity.
Now, what if I tell you that the same apolitical Nagendra Prasad would go on to fight the British tooth and nail to include Indians in the football tournaments they organized? I'll tell you about that later. For now, I'm going to leave you with something that historian Kaushik Bondhopadhyay said. He said Nagendra Prasad wasn't a nationalist.
But he definitely showed to the Bengalis, or Indians for that matter, that football was a medium through which the Indians could fight the British and show their mettle in Western sports and show they express their kind of masculinity on the field of football.
Such drive, such passion for the sport, such fine leadership. Nobody really knows why, but by 1902, 25 years after he started his journey in Indian football at Hare School, Nagendra Prasad would quit the field altogether. Next on Barefoot Boys, we see how Nagendra Prasad's influence on football club culture in Calcutta continued to grow. We will witness the launch of the Shobha Baja Club, the first Indian team to be allowed to play in the Trades Cup. And on the horizon, we will catch a tiny glimpse of the idea that would become Mohun Bagan. Barefoot Boys is a Luminary original podcast produced by Rainshine Entertainment, and you've been listening to me, Konkona Sen Sharma. Gaurav Vaz is our executive producer. Vivek Madan is our director and script supervisor. Our writing team was led by Vivek Madan, Vikram Shah and Archana Nathan, who wrote these episodes along with Shankhudeep Sengupta, Nevin Thomas, Arka Bhattacharya and Amar Shias. We recorded the podcast at Island City Studios with Ashyar Balsara. Sachi Rajadhaksh is our sound designer and audio producer. And Ayan Dee mixed and mastered these episodes. Thanks to all our guests and experts for their time and valuable inputs. And a special thank you to Sidin Vadukut for his help getting this podcast off the ground. And most of all, thanks to the Omo Rakadosh, 11 men who did the impossible, who taught a country to dream and for a brief moment showed us what freedom felt like long before we were free.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.